Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the co-founders
of Fruit Loots.
So the name Fruit Loots came about because Alan and I were thinking about all of the things that inspired us as kids of a particular age. And we thought of, you know, obviously the cereal brands of our childhood, but then the idea that we could be two fruits that have really great loot was kind of like how the name came about. So spin that around however way you want to, but that's how Fruit Loots was born.
When people get a Fruit Loots box, they can really expect a lot of fun, whimsy, and humor built into our design. We really just wanted to capture a sense of nostalgia. Every sleeve design is unique in and of itself, so it truly is one of those like Easter egg cereal box moments that we want everyone to experience when they receive a gift from us.
So there are three easy ways for you to shop Fruit Loots. Number one, go online and shop our pre-picked, curated gift boxes. All you have to do is pick the theme and then add your message and send it on its way. Number two is build your own box. You pick your gifts, you pick your gift wrap, and then you add your own personalized message to the box, and then we send it on its way. And the third easiest way to shop Fruit Loots is just go on and shop for yourself. So by all means, go online, shop for all the really cool things that we have. There's a lot of great gifts on there for everyone and for you.
Well, welcome to today's interview, everyone, where we shine a spotlight on the creators and two of the featured co-stars of the groundbreaking film Finding Her Beat. It's an extraordinary documentary that dives deep into the world of taiko drumming through a lens that celebrates women's empowerment and our vibrant LGBTQ community. The film not only showcases the art of taiko, but also tells a compelling story of unity, strength, and the creation of an all-women's performance at a significant event in February 2020, right in the middle of a Minnesota winter and the world on a cusp of a pandemic. Join me in welcoming co-directors Don Mickelson and Carrie Pickett, and featuring the documentary and producers Megan Chow Smith and Jennifer Weir, as we explore the journey, challenges, and triumphs behind this inspiring project. It's coming to all digital platforms globally this Valentine's Day, February 14th. Let's take a look.
I've always wanted to produce an all-star concert. Bring the best female taiko artists from Japan and from North America together and put women center stage.
Okay, we're really
doing this.
Yeah.
There are amazing female taiko players, but they're kind of scattered and kind of work in isolation.
So happy you're here!
I'm from Sacramento, California.
Honolulu, Hawaii. Tokyo.
My name is Megan Chow Smith, and I am a guest artist tonight.
And my wife.
In college, I discovered taiko.
It's the thing that kept me alive.
It was the first time that I feel fully showing who I am.
It's like a 20 years ago dream.
You're one of the best performers.
Well, thank you, Mother.
The goal is for you to be yourself, and I will try to weave us together for the concert.
Trust me, I'm not going to regret any of this.
This kind of gathering has not happened before.
First time is very risky.
There's a lot of competition and jockeying, but we're not supposed to be like that because we're women and we support each other.
Hell!
It was like a pressure cooker, so all your triggers get triggered.
Rehearsal, concert, what am I doing?
The time is approaching, and how are we going to hold this together?
You should come. Very special.
Why is it that we think that we don't belong? We deserve to do this work.
Breathe together your power, your energy, your love to our sound. Then it will be our beat.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for sharing your incredible documentary with me. Don, Carrie, congratulations on an amazing film you put together.
Thank you so much.
pleasure being here.
Well, I loved watching it, and it's such a story of love about Tycho and women empowerment, but it's also a family story. I mean, from what I understand, I know that Megan, you're married to Jennifer, co-produced, and then Jennifer, you were besties with Dawn back in college, so this was a family get-together, right?
Absolutely.
I love that you see that.
How did the project start coming together? Who approached who? And tell us a little bit about the background of getting this happening.
Well, I asked Dawn out for lunch. Everything starts over lunch, right?
Of course.
It's important.
And I was telling Dawn about the project for the concert. And I was asking Dawn if she would be able to videotape it so that we would have the concert footage for the future. And the more we talked about why I was doing it, what was involved. And we were also kind of sharing our stories about being queer moms, working in the arts and working in very gendered fields. We had a lot in common. And it was Dawn who said, you know, this isn't just a concert, this is a film, and maybe it's a movement. And together we started then hatching this idea of, all right, so if I were going to produce a concert and a film, what would that look like?
And, right?
And Dawn,
I love
from
that.
The beginning, had a vision for the film too, Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry.
You're just so good at telling this story. I'm like, go, Jen, go. But I'll say there were a couple of visions for the film. One was that we wanted to make it cinema verite. We wanted to make it so that it was all fly on the wall filming, no interviews, just what people said, following them, you know, day and night over the course of this incredible residency, as well as the time leading up to it, so that it played like a fiction film. You know, it played like a narrative feature, to really tell it as a story and, you know, pull out that kind of middle person of the narrator or the interviewer or all of that. And so that the story just was told organically. And in doing so, giving more power to the people in front of the camera to just live their lives and do things as they would do them. And, you know, hopefully not craft that too much as a filmmaker and not impact that reality. The other piece was having the crew be representative of who is in front of the camera, so that it was our story as a crew as well. So our crew was female, non-binary, queer, Asian, or a combination of those descriptors. And so, you know, and you see that throughout the film, you know, both in terms of the quality of the film, but behind the scenes, the quality of the conversation and the quality of the storytelling, when everybody who is engaged in this film is like, this is my story too. I see myself in the lived experiences of all of these people on camera. And so those were kind of the two big things that we wanted to bring forward, and, you know, reached out to Carrie Pickett, and Carrie was like, right on. Carrie and I have known each other through a group called Film Fatales, which is a filmmaking group for directors who've had films reach a certain level, films and TV reach a certain level of distribution. And and I've always wanted to work with Carrie because she's an amazing cinematographer and director, and, you know, has a history of being a still photographer of gorgeous. You should just go research Carrie Pickett. That's what you should do right now.
That's fantastic. I love that our lesbian friends are ladies who lunch and come up with great ideas, and the gays are men who brunch and come up with some good ideas on occasion, not as well as you guys do. Megan, do me a favor, let everyone know, people that aren't familiar with Tycho drumming, talk about this. From what I understand, very male dominated for quite a while, kind of a religious background, a lot of ceremonial through the ages, and then it started changing in the 90s. Talk about the background and what it actually is.
Sure. To your point, Scott, like way, 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 way long time ago, the drum in Japan was used in ceremonies, and sometimes it was religious ceremonies, sometimes it was, you know, a burial, or sometimes even to help get work done. But at that time, a long time ago, only men were allowed or believed to be capable of being a go-between humans and the spirits and God. So because the drums were involved in that, women also were not allowed to touch the drums or have that sort of conversation. So those kinds of super gendered sexist things have been going on in many countries all over the world for quite a long time. And so the habit of that lasted a super long time, and the systems of that still in place. But the art form, people, this guy named Daihachi Oguchi in Japan said, well, let's put all these many of these on stage and make it into a performing art. And it then in the 70s came to the US and then began to be considered up there with high art like ballet. And now it's a huge, as Jen would say, a cultural import actually from Japan to countries all over the world, including North America. And there's been a huge boom of it since the late 1990s and still continuing in North America. So it used to be just a symbolic part of old time life, and now it's a performance art. And the tradition of women not being in center stage, there's been a long history of in Japan that women could be on stage, but only as a dancer, that they wouldn't be able to be a drummer. When I was in Japan studying for 12 years, it was still there. Like, you're too tall, you're too muscular, you sound and look like a man. We need two cute little girls opposite each other on stage. So it's still very much alive. Kind of imagery that people have been told that they like. But the great thing about this film is that there's lots of non-male people who have been mastering this art form for 30 plus years, getting a chance to show the artistry and the movement and the way that 18 people have decided to, like I said, find mastery and be on stage with it. And Jen was able to pull those people together in Minnesota and create this concert and now this film, thanks to Donna Carey.
Well, exactly. Like Don said, it's a cultural movement. I told you guys off air, it's very much to me reminiscent of a river dance or a stomp, some kind of a experience that comes from a culture and then just kind of grows and you get the appreciation for it. Carey, I want to know your take on this. I mean, we're not talking about a drum circle here. You find a lot of places where we're casually just tapping on a little drum there. This is full body workout. What was your familiarity with it, Carey? And what did you learn along the way?
Thank you so much. Sorry. My first career was as a still photographer, and I did photograph Theater Moo. And in one of their performances, they had taiko drumming. And so I was exposed to taiko drumming. And I think I did have a similar response to Jen when she first saw it, as you know, it didn't take over my life, but it hit on all of these primal. Heartbeat, the cultural circle around the world of the importance of the drum. And then, you know, it's an art form. And so as an artist myself, I'm interested in artists and art forms. And so to me, being able to jump on this film as a co-director and director of photography, thank you, Don, for inviting me, is that, you know, I got to lift up something that I truly cherish and admire, which is artists and high art and the pursuit of high art, and also doing things that are difficult. I think that we're really put on this planet to do things that are hard. I don't think we came here to be like kicked back all the time, just going, oh yeah, I'm chilling, having a great time. No. I think we're supposed to be building those bridges of the heart and helping one another and growing respect and peace and love. And so I think that this film kind of came together to support these really universal values. Oh,
I love that. And Jen, let's get into your story a little bit. I mean, talk about the Mood Theater. You were on the trail of being an actress at one time. You were a Korean adopted, and then you really know ties to your background, your cultural background, at least Asian background. Then you saw a performance at the Mood Theater and now executive director. Talk about your journey. It's amazing.
Well, a friend of mine said it pretty succinctly in that I have no claim to taiko drumming, but it claimed me. And that's really what happened. And it's, you know, it's sort of a love story where you find something, you're intrigued, you think it's cool, and then you just fall in love with it and you want to learn more about it. And you just want to, you just kind of dive deeper and deeper into it. And taiko, eventually, the rehearsal schedule fit my lifestyle as a mom much better than the theater rehearsal schedule. But my relationship continued deep with taiko, and I feel like it's given me so many gifts. It's giving me a sense of myself and my own power. It's given me this ability to tap into kind of a super energy that you didn't know you had. It's brought the most amazing people into my life, such as my wife, Megan, and my daughter, Josie, and some of the best friends and extended family I could have ever hoped for. So I'm just so grateful that I stumbled into taiko drumming. And my hope is through this project and through this film and through the work that I do at Taiko Arts Midwest is to give back to the community, to support artists, to, you know, blow the trumpet of what taiko is and can be all over the world, because it's such an empowering, healing, visceral, exciting way to spend your time.
I love that. And I like the parts of heart that are implemented into the thing with you and Megan and your daughter. I mean, I wish I had some of those discipline techniques for my incentive techniques for my kids. That's amazing work you guys are doing. Excuse me. Let's go back to Dawn here for a second. Talk about a lot of intersectionalities here. We have our Asian culture. We have LGBTQ culture. How is that marrying that together and forming that into a cohesive group?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I mean, it's embodied in the story, so it's already there, right? Like, I will say that what has been really cool about distributing this film and getting it out in front of audiences has been its firm embrace in so many different cultures. I, as somebody who started my career doing LGBTQ stories, you know, I started with a film called Treading Water about being queer in rural Minnesota. And it did amazingly well in the queer film circuit. And I've found that throughout my career, I tend to go down, you know, genre paths. There's going to be some mainstream festivals, but then you really get pulled in by the cultural festivals, whether it be queer or, you know, in this case, Asian. And what happened was that we were embraced by the queer festivals, the Asian festivals, the music festivals, the women's festivals, the mainstream festivals in significant numbers. And so it broke down all of those ways in which our work tends to get categorized and discounted sometimes. You know, because the mainstream festivals would be like, oh, this will be great for the queer festival circuit. We don't have to worry about that one, you know, and it's exciting to have it resonate on all of those different levels. And hopefully, you know, we were just talking about this before, but hopefully it helps open doors for queer, Asian, non-binary women's stories to be seen as universal and to not necessarily get sent down. I mean, I love the queer circuit. I love the Asian circuit, like, don't get me wrong. But the idea that the mainstream festivals as well are embracing this film because it's more and it's universal and everybody is seeing themselves in this story, that has been an incredible experience as a filmmaker to watch that happen.
Oh, yes, I bet. I love that.
All those festivals, all those groups that, you know, have added up to over 50 film festivals, which I've never had a film that has ever done that. And then just the breadth of awards, from jury awards to audience awards. Don and I have won awards as directors. It's won as best film. It's just really been amazing. And then as an international film, I think one of the things that's interesting is that the State Department has a project that they have called American Film Showcase, and they choose films to represent America to their embassies around the world. And we've been added to the roster of the catalog available to embassies around the world. And so I think that also speaks to this universal aspect that even though this is an international film about something rooted in Japanese culture, it's now being used to represent America and American values and American cinema. And so I think, you know, that speaks volumes right there.
Definitely. Thank you for touching on that. I did have that in my notes because I thought that was very exciting. I think a partnership with UCLA as well or something. So amazing. Megan, let's talk to you for a second because you kind of have both hats on. You're a producer on the film, so you are excited about these 50 film festivals, I'm sure, but you're also the performer. Talk about what you're seeing in the audience takeaways from this, from all the audiences of these awards. How is that being received and what's your feelings on that?
I have been able to attend many, not all 50, of those festivals throughout North America, including Cleveland, Ohio, Arkansas, New York, West Coast, all over the place. And it's almost like it's the same audience, because we get a big audience. And it after the film, there's often an ovation, not always, but then there's people coming up to me in tears. Like, it's like a mass. every festival I've been to, it's like been the exact same. And I've walked into them like, oh, no one's going to come, or this region isn't going to support this film. But like, it's the exact same. Every city, people are like, thank you so much for sharing your small queer family on this film. Thank you so much. This totally resonated with me. And it's pretty stunning that I'm unable to move. I can't walk out because the audiences all over are having this reaction, wanting to learn drumming, wanting to see us tour again, wanting to see the concert footage. And also, luckily, I have connections all over the world and with Taiko people who go see it in London, in Australia, in the UK, and they report the same experiences and same audience reactions.
That is amazing. I wish I knew you were at Cleveland. We could have had our own lunch and created our own wonderful idea. I'm an hour away from Cleveland here in Ohio. So amazing. I'm glad you were able to see it there. And Jen, let's get back to you. Also two hats on here. You're producing and you're performing in here. Talk about seeing both of those aspects, bringing all these women together, because I mean, women are very empowering together, but they also can be a little catty, and it's also a performance thing. So we're talking about everyone wants a little second or two in the spotlight, right? How are you able to juggle that as a producer and a performer?
Well, I would say the challenge was, well, let me start with positive. Positive is like filling the room with your heroes, like Avenger style gathering. Like you're just happy to be able to be in the space and breathe the same air. Like that's over the moon, like through every aspect of this project. The challenge is when you have a room full of leaders, divas, visionaries, they all know how to get the best work out of their process. So they all have really clear ideas of what they need to be the best that they can be. And they're usually very diverse needs. So as a producer, it was very challenging in that almost every decision I made, several people would have opposite needs. Mm. Like I need more and I need less for many, many, many decisions. And so what I just tried to do throughout the whole thing is whatever I could make happen to support the artists, I would, even if they were in opposite corners. I would try to reach in all directions to try to support the artists, because at the end of the day, everyone was trying to just do their best work.
And they all wanted to support one another to do their best work. Now, that doesn't mean it's conflict-free.
Right.
In fact, that means, of course, you're going to have conflict because people are invested, you know? And that's where the really interesting things happen, I think, is in the struggle. So my goal was to not shy away from the struggle, but just to try to, like, lean in and trust artists to do their work that they need to do. And that was challenging and terrifying. And at any given moment, you might think it would be a disaster. And there were many people such as Megan who could come in the last moment and like say just the right thing, the right moment that gets everybody aligned and on the nice. same page, and like, oh, disaster averted, till you go to the next moment and the next moment. But all those things build to what I think was truly a transformational, transcendent experience. Like, I don't know that I will ever have an artistic experience like that. And then to have Don and Carrie capture it, like, what happened is they captured things that I didn't see because I was in it. So sure. When I watched the film, it was this gift that came back to me of this bigger story and all of the things that were happening, and seeing my, you know, our beautiful family in there and our daughter at just this age was such a gift. And I don't know how they did it. they're brilliant. That's how they did it.
Well said. So, I love that. Yeah, well, ladies, I could talk to you guys for hours, but we only have just a few minutes left. So I'm going to do a couple of last questions with Don and Carrie here. Don, talk about the challenges. I mean, we're talking February in Minnesota. We're talking a pandemic that we didn't really know was a pandemic at the time coming on to us. I would have picked Hawaii or Miami. Talk about how this all came about.
Minnesota's our home. Minnesota's Jen's home, all four of us. So it had to be Minnesota. Where else could this be? I think that also, you know, not to get too much in the weeds, but Minnesota has an incredible culture of support for the arts. And so in some ways, Minnesota was perfect for this. In other ways, it was really crazy cold. And but as a filmmaker, that adds to the drama, right? You've got a bunch of people coming from the coast. You've got a bunch of people coming from Japan. They're all like, did you say negative 30? And yes, negative 30. So that just adds to the good old drama of a film. I think that, you know, this film in some ways is a love letter to Minnesota in my mind as well. And the fact that this could happen here and that this happens here all the time. And so, you know, come to Minnesota.
There you go. I love that. And Carrie, we're about a week away, 8 days, but you have the big launch on all the streamings on February 14th. What a Valentine's love letter to everybody. Talk about what your hopes and expectations are.
Sorry about that. My hope is that all these people that have said, oh, I want to tell my friends about the film. I can't wait to be able to share this film. We'll be able to finally share it. And to go and to be able to, it's sort of magical, right? To know that all of a sudden our story, just with the flip of a switch, is going to be available worldwide. And then not only Finding Her Beat, but because the film is named Finding Her Beat because of the Her Beat concert that Jen and her, you know, the longtime dream of Tiffany and Megan being realized by Jen. And so this is like a huge earthquake that's happening to have these both come out at the same time. And, you know, I think the impact is yet to be seen, but I just express love to everybody, and that we're just sharing the love, and we hope to get a lot of love right back.
Well, fantastic. Well, Don Mickelson, Carrie Pickett, and we have Megan Chow Smith and Jennifer Weir. Congratulations on an amazing film. I'm so excited for the journey from here. Already all the success in film festivals, and now it's going to just go globally wide for you. I appreciate you taking the time today. We'll have to chat again on one of your next projects. And thanks for coming on the Left is Right show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, ladies, thank you.
I love you. Down to your bones, naked and afraid.
So we're gonna try. Our friend actually made this. So yay, gay people!
It's vodka. Vodka soda.
It's vodka soda's different flavors. Look how cute this packaging is. Oh my god, the cans are so cute.
Oh,
oh my god, watermelon! Okay, oh my god,
watermelon!
Oh shit! Cheers.
Thanks for listening to The Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media and be sure to check out our website, www.leftofstraightradio.com, for contests and other news and information. See you next week.